everyone had a good Christmas. I know there's a few new faces there. To introduce myself, my name is Rob. I'm local pastor of Liberty Church here in Bray. We have two other locations, one in the city centre and one in Clondalkin as well. We kind of like one site, one church, many locations kind of deal going on. We're going to have a shorter service than normal this morning, unless I get carried away with myself and we have a longer service than normal. But shorter than normal because we're going to go out for a hike after to Glendalough. So anybody who is here is welcome to come along. There's going to be kind of varying levels of difficulty depending on how late you stayed up last night. Yeah. So some people can go for a hike, you can go for like a stroll or a ramble or a meander or a cup of coffee if you stayed up too late. But straight after church, we load into cars. If you see anybody who hasn't got a space and you're coming down, load them up in your car. We'll all head down and spend some time together, yeah? And so to kick off the new year and to close in a way, I want to speak a bit about the Word of God. Something that's precious to me, it's something that I hope is precious to our church. And I want to speak about the Word of God, shorter than normal, but just to bring a bit of a word, finish off 2016 and bring in 2017, yeah? I grew up as a Christian. My parents were Christians. They got saved in the late 70s. I came along in the early 80s. I had the privilege of growing up in the 80s, which I think was the best decade to be a kid, yeah? Great cartoons, great toys, all that sort of stuff. Great memories of growing up. And I grew up as a Christian, so I grew up going to church. I used to go to like Sunday school, like the kids are gone out to here. I used to go to kids' camps in the summers and Bible clubs during the week and all this sort of stuff. But I was thinking during the week, or actually during the previous week, about what to preach on, and the very first Bible verse that I ever memorized, or at least the one that I remember the most, is this from Psalm 119, verse 10 or verse 11. It's a verse 11. It says this, that I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I don't know what age I was, 4 or 5, something like that. And we memorized this. We used to memorize them in Sunday school. The next week we came in, we got a sweet or something if we could recite it back. But it's something that's stayed with me my whole life. I've hidden your word in my heart. Some translations say I've treasured your word or I've stored up your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. And this morning, the short time we have, I just want to encourage you to treasure the Word of God, that we store it up, that we treasure it, that we hide it in our hearts, that we value it, yeah? And so we're going to look at Psalm 119, a little section in it. Some of you may know or may not know, but Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the whole of the Bible. If you open up Psalms in the middle of your Bible, chances are you're going to land on Psalm 119. It covers like 4 or 5 pages of it. There's 176 verses in it. It's longer than a load of Old Testament books, whole books in the Old Testament, longer than most of the New Testament books, just this one chapter in the Bible. And the whole of this chapter, all 176 verses are about the value of the Word of God, the law of God, what God has chosen to reveal about himself to us. And there's this incredible structure, and there's a lot of work went into this that's kind of missed out if you look at it in the English. But in Hebrew, Hebrew poetry works different than English poetry. It rhymes thoughts in these little lines called, but parallelisms, okay? And so there's loads of these within it, okay? And if you look at Psalm 119, it's broken into 22 different sections. Each of them is 8 verses long. And each of those 22 sections, here's what happens is, the first 8 verses start with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the letter Aleph, or A, yeah? Then the second eight start with Beth, or B, and it goes on through all the letters. So you've got 8 verses that start with A, 8 verses start with B, 8 verses start with C, all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. So it's like an intricate kind of book. It's like this great work, a lot of inspiration, a lot of work went into writing this thing to show us the value of the Word of God. And it's a song as well. We forget sometimes that the Psalms are songs, like that people would sing this song. Hebrew people would get together and sing this song. Imagine it's like an epic kind of song. How long would it take to sing 176 verses of this thing? It's like, imagine at the end of like a boring sermon, we're like, okay, now we're going to close in a song. And it's like, turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. It's like another 2 hours left to go. But we're going to read from a little section of it here, right? The Beth section of it, the second set of 8 verses. And that's where that verse is, this verse 11. But let's read from verse 9 on. It says this. So how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I'll fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. So there's incredible language used here, and the rest of Psalm 119 is the same. If you look about it, it talks about the word of God, the commandments of God, the statutes, the rules, the testimonies, the precepts. It's like all these different words to say basically anything, God, that you have said, anything that you've chosen to show us about yourself, show us about how we should live, show us about your character, show us about our nature. These are the things that I'm going to delight in, the things I'm going to meditate in, the things I'm going to treasure, I'm going to store up, that I'm going to not forget. It's saying in as many different ways as possible and from as many different angles as possible that the word of God is incredible, and that the more our lives are orientated around his word, the more that they're going to reflect God's own character. That I've stored up, I've hidden, I've treasured your word in my heart. The Hebrew word there for treasured literally means to hide, because that's what people would do with their treasure back in the days before banks. They would hide their treasure somewhere, like where they couldn't just put it somewhere safe, they would hide it away. So it's the same Hebrew word. It means to hide something. It means that more than just we read the word of God, or more than we just know the word of God, or more than we just listen to sermons, but that we hide it away. Where? In our hearts. We store it up in our hearts, not just in our minds, but in our very being. In the core of who we are. You know, the heart is the core of our personality, our identity, that we store up the word of God in there. It becomes a part of us. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, or if you've been around Christians, I hope you've had that experience of going through a difficult time, or going through a period in your life where you're distant, or something hard is going on, and you open the word and it's like it was written that day for you, yeah? Has anyone had that experience? You open the word and you're like, this is fresh. This is speaking right to my situation today. That the word of God has that power. I hope you've had the experience that even outside of opening up the word and seeing that you're going through something and you just have the word already inside you. That you're going through something and a Bible verse comes to mind. The lyrics of a song that's written around like a Bible verse or a passage. That something comes to mind, that the Spirit leads us in that way, and that you know it, and that it changes your situation. It changes who you are in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. That you have that stuff stored up in your heart. Why is it there? Because at some stage you hid it there. At some stage you treasured it. At some stage you valued it enough to imbibe it, to make it a part of you. That we store up the word in our hearts. So we need to be proactive about that, church, is what I'm saying. Be proactive about having the word of God stored up. How much have you got stored up in there for the hard times when they come? How much have you got stored up in there for the tough situations you're going to face? How much have you got stored up in there to just take the ordinary humdrum day-to-day stuff and to set it on fire with the potential and the purposes of God? How much have you got stored up? How much have you treasured? How much have you put into investing that into your life? Paul calls the word, when he talks in Ephesians about the armor, he calls the word of God the sword, that it's something that we go on the attack with, it's something that we defend with, it's something that is mighty in our hands. And Jesus, when Jesus is tempted in the desert, he doesn't have a Bible with him, he doesn't have big scrolls to pull out, but when the devil tempts Jesus in the desert, Jesus quotes back scripture to him. Why does he quote back scripture? Because he's stored it up in there. He's memorized it, and it's powerful, and it's useful. So we need to do that. It's like he reaches into the store and he pulls out the thing that he needs for that day. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so to get really practical about it, to show you some way, and I know there's a lot of people visiting this morning, so this may or may not be relevant for you, but Malachi down the back has put a load of work into producing this part on our website, where if you go to libertychurch.ie/Bible, okay? And today is a good day to start with it because it's the beginning day of the year. If you go to libertychurch.ie/Bible, you can read through the whole Bible in 1 year. Each day as you go on to that place to decide, it's going to have changed to a different section of the Bible. It reads a bit of the Old Testament, a bit of the New Testament, and a bit of the Psalms and Proverbs each day. So if you could establish a routine in your life of getting up in the morning and reading that, or reading it last thing at night, whatever it looks like, this time next year you could have read the whole of the Bible. The amount of scripture that's there to read, I looked it up and I read it myself and stuff. It takes about 15 minutes to read it, okay? So 15 minutes. If you could set aside 15 minutes a day to do that, you would have the whole of the Bible read by this time next year. The whole of what God has chosen to reveal to us about himself, about ourselves, about the world, about his plans. We could have exposed ourselves to it. We could have read it in a year. I'd encourage you to take more than 15 minutes. Take a half an hour, spend 15 minutes reading it, and then 15 minutes meditating on it, journaling about it, writing it, whatever it looks like. Maybe you get up in the morning, you read the Old Testament bit. At lunchtime, you read the Psalms bit. And before you go to bed at night, you read the New Testament bit. Split it up like that throughout the day. But if God has actually chosen to reveal himself in the Word, yeah? If we actually believe that the Word is inspired, that it's something that God has said, this is what I want humanity to know about me. And over thousands and thousands of years, he inspired authors to put together this book that deals with situations and, as we know, speaks straight into our lives. If this is actually the Word of God, then that half an hour or 15 minutes you spend a day has to be the best investment that you could make, the best New Year's resolution that you could make this year, yeah? So libertychurch.ie/Bible, check that out. And I love the idea of us all as a community of faith, as a church family here, as a body that's being built up under the head of Jesus, that we would be reading the same scripture each day, that it then would find its way into our conversations, it would find its way into our lives, that we could be sparking off, did you read that this morning? Did you read this? What do you think about that last week? I didn't fully understand it. And see different people's revelations, see how it's working into different people's lives. The benefits of that would be absolutely incredible. So I would really encourage you to do that. So that's one way that going forward we could really get going with storing up some of this stuff in our hearts. Yeah, very practical way. But at this time of year, I want to take just the last couple of minutes I have before we finish up. And, you know, when we transition, there's something about the date changing, yeah? There's something about it's not 2016 anymore, now it's 2017. The rest of this year will fly by. You may not notice when it goes from January to February or from March into April. The summer months boot by. You may not notice when they change. But we notice when it changes a year, yeah, from one thing to the other. It's a natural kind of thing that God ordained that the earth is going to travel around the sun once in a year, yeah? That there's these seasons that God has ordained, and there's something natural in it that we want to take stock. We want to start new things. We want to let go of old things. We want to move on. We want to, we may look at the year and as a compartmentalized thing and say, okay, that's what happened in this. Now it's time to move on into something else. Or what do I take out of it? And in talking about treasuring the Word, in talking about storing up the Word in our heart, I'd love us to just take a few minutes to look at what we looked at as a community this year in the Word, with the intent of this, that there may be something that you heard during the year and you thought, that's for me, I need to apply that, I need that in my life, I need to work that out, and then life just got in the way, and so one Sunday turned into another Sunday, turned into another Sunday, and before you know it, you've forgotten about it. So I want to take the chance just to remind us of what it is that we looked at in the Word. You know, one of my biggest fears as a preacher and as a pastor is that we would treat the Word of God as disposable. That in some ways we just come Sunday after Sunday and be like, let me hear another message and another message and another message, and never really have any intent of doing anything with it. That we'd hear the Word like expository preaching, like we'd hear it expounded and torn apart and put back together again, and we'd understand the depths of it, but it wouldn't really sink down to our hearts and actually change us. And that we could look like at a year ago and say, I haven't changed as a person, even though I've sat under 52 sermons and 30 home groups and done all this Bible study or whatever. And so that we learn to treasure the Word of God. Not just store up mass amounts of information, but treasure it. Yeah, to say that as the Word is preached, as the Word is spoken, that it's meant to accomplish something, that God promises his Word would accomplish, and that there's a power in it. So in 2016, as we go through this stuff, and you may be visiting us and you haven't been here in 2016, okay? So this may be a bit of a moot point to you, but I encourage you just in the time to ask, what did the Lord say to you in 2016, and what are you going to do with it? What are you going to take out of 2016? God is always speaking, guys. Yeah, God is always speaking. Whenever we turn our ears to listen, God is speaking. What has God said to you this year, and what do you want to take out of it? How will it make you closer to him in 2017? So as we go through these, just remember, I would encourage you, if something sparks and you think, oh man, at the time I thought I needed to act on this and I haven't, to treasure it, to take that away. Maybe go and listen to go to libertychurch.ie again, the website. Every single sermon that's preached here is recorded. You can find them all on the podcast. You can search by topics and by names and tags and all that sort of stuff. So you can check that out. But I just encourage you, just take out of 2016 what you're meant to take out of it. Don't go on into 2017. Don't treat the Word of God as disposable. Don't treat the Word of God as just something we get again and again and again and we don't really treasure, yeah? So we're going to look back over the years kind of worth of sermons. And we're blessed. We're blessed with great preachers in this church, he says kind of humbly from the front. But aside from me, we're blessed with great preachers in this church. We've had great people this year. Noel preaches like about once a month here. We've had Andy preach. We've had Sean. We had Mags, who was leading the meeting, preach. Sophie. We had Jay O'Sullivan from Clondalkin preach. We had Annette McFarlane, who used to be a teacher in the Bible College, preach here throughout the year. And I really value that. People who will spend time with God, people who will spend time in the Scripture, people who've invested in their lives the tools to be able to understand Scripture in its context and to be able to communicate that to a group of people in a way that makes sense. I really value those people and I honor them. But like I said, my fear is that the work that they've put in, that we just let it wash over us and then we're like, okay, what's next? Who's next week? Who's the week after that? Who's the week after that? And that we don't really allow this to make a difference in our lives, yeah? That we could come each week and have the Word of God opened up to us, but we would never really open ourselves up to it. And so as we go through, just listen out for what you need to open yourself up to. And in saying all of that, guys, that all of this is about, like, this value in the Word. We read in John, and we read it just at our Christmas service there, that the Word became flesh, yeah? And that all of this stuff isn't about head knowledge, it's about your relationship with Jesus. It's that this Word leads us into relationship with Jesus. That Jesus is called prophet, priest, and king, yeah? Which means all the prophecies of the Old Testament, all the prophets in the Old Testament somehow point to him. All the priests and the priesthood and all that stuff and Leviticus and all that stuff, that somehow points to him. All the stories of the kings and chronicles and all that sort of stuff somehow points to Jesus. That this whole book in the Bible, called the Bible, is about Jesus. It starts with him and it ends with him. It says, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. And through him all things were created. And that Word became flesh and that Word is Jesus. I don't want there to ever be a sermon preached in this church that would be true if Jesus hadn't raised from the dead. I don't want to just be like good advice, just like a TED talk or something. Just like, oh, here's some nice ideas that you can do. But we want all of our preaching to be centered around the fact that Jesus Christ became flesh, was crucified, and was raised from the dead, and offers his life to us. So land on one thing, treasure it, store it up, and then we move on into 2017, which I'm excited about. So we started this year with a series called Counterfeit Gods. And it was based on a book by a guy called Tim Keller of the same name, Counterfeit Gods. And we preached through it bit by bit. And I have to say, if there was something this year that really impacted my life, it was that sermon series. The underlying premise or truth of that series was this. We took about 5 weeks through it. And the premise was this, that at the core of our being, every human like looks for significance, looks for fulfillment, and looks for security, yeah? That there are things that are at the core of our being, things that we need and we strive for. Whether you know God or you don't know God, we look for significance, security, and fulfillment in life. And we look for them in all sorts of different ways. But the truth of this series that we try to expose is that they're only found in Jesus. Now, that sounds like a simple message, yeah? Like, you could just say it in a sentence. You're like, how did you manage to get 5 weeks out of that, Rob? But it's simple, but it's profound. And as I explored my own heart, I found that even though I grew up a Christian, even though I had this wealth of Bible knowledge, even though I've been through Bible college, even though I've been in church every week of my life since I was a baby, that I didn't get this stuff at the very basic level. You know, the first commandment is this, that you shall have no other gods before me, that you'll worship no other god before me. And in a way, we don't break any of the other commandments unless we first break the first one. Yeah? We don't steal unless we think that we can get something that we don't get from God. Yeah? And we're meeting some sort of need. We don't commit adultery. We don't do any of the other things that are listed down there. We don't covet unless we don't really get that it's God who is our God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, he starts with. This history, this wealth of who he is, who he showed himself to be. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me. But counterfeit gods, we establish these things in our hearts, and very often these things that are good things can become ultimate things to us. If I was to ask you, what's the one thing in your life that if you lost it, you couldn't live without it? Some of us may say our job, some of us may say our house, some of us may say our kids, some of us may say whatever. But those things can easily be good things, but can become ultimate things in our lives. And when they do, we've moved into what the Bible would call idolatry. And so this framework of saying that humans at their nature create idols. We may not bow down and worship idols like bronze statues of something, but we put this worth onto things. And what is worship but putting worth onto things, yeah? Where it's saying that this thing is worthy of my attention, that I value this thing so much. And we end up worshiping things that we're not meant to worship. So it could be like our job security. It could be how much money we have in the bank. It could be what people think of us. It could be our success. It could be our relationships, that if we feel secure in a relationship or we feel significant, if someone else finds us significant, that we take those good things, and if they become ultimate things, they take the place that should only be reserved for God. And it's only when we allow God to actually occupy that place himself that we can really enjoy those good things for what they are without crushing them under the weight of expectations that we place on them. So say, for example, in a relationship, people think, if I just find the right person, I'm going to be significant, I'm going to be secure, I'm going to be fulfilled. And we put all that expectation on this other person. And no person can create that for you. There isn't a person outside of Jesus Christ who can be that. So we end up crushing the other person under the weight of that expectation. Or we can do the same with our job, and then we lose our job. We can do the same with our money, and then where we find that our money doesn't make us happy. And as a Christian, I'd allowed my trust to be in things other than God, and in doing so, they became counterfeit gods in my life. And I'm convinced that people getting this stuff is the key to finding actual security, fulfillment, and significance in life. So we looked at relationships. We examined the story of Jacob and Rachel and Leah, and the whole thing that went on then with him trying to find a wife, and the whole dysfunction that came as a part of that. And we looked at money. We looked at how we put our faith in the money that we have. How many of us would feel more secure if we won the Euro Millions at the weekend? We looked to that sort of stuff to say, if we just had that, then we would feel significant or secure. And this isn't just about living a better life. It's that these counterfeit gods, they're bloodthirsty. That, you know, as a result of the recession, yeah, when the recession came, we had the Celtic Tiger and the boom, and loads of people are making loads of money, and they're buying houses, and everyone's becoming a millionaire, yeah? And then the recession hits, and there was a study done, okay, like an official study, and it showed that in Ireland, the male suicide rate jumped by 50% during the recession years. That there was an additional 561 suicides in Ireland during the recession that wouldn't have happened had things continued as a boom. 561 people took their lives, 561 families devastated because the money idol is taken away. Our hope is in it, our trust is in it, our significance is in it, our fulfillment is in it. What people think of me is in all this, in the stuff that I have. Then when it's taken away, what am I left with? It's nothing. So these things they're bloodthirsty kind of things. We looked as well at my personal kind of idols, which are approval and success. That I really like to have the approval of other people, and I like succeeding, and they tie into one another. But that you can just chase success after success after success, trying to prove yourself nonstop. Or you can just chase the approval of others by doing things for them that you wouldn't usually do, going beyond and the extreme, just because you want them to approve of you. But in all of these things, they're a counterfeit to the real thing. That God offers us security. God offers us significance and identity. And God offers us fulfillment. And they're found in him when we worship him and him alone. And so if that's something that you need to take out of this year, I pray that you do it. It's something that I'm still working through. And that framework of understanding my life in that way, of seeing where am I actually placing my trust, what if it was taken away from me, would crush me. Of seeing that and observing that and exploring our hearts. That framework is so helpful, and it lets us just invite God in, the God of grace who offers to come in and give us all the things that we're looking for in all those different places. So I'd encourage you, go back, look at the sermons, look at the podcasts or whatever, and if you need to take that out of 2016, please do. After that, we moved on to the book of Philippians, where we spent a couple of months. We preached through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. There's only 4 chapters in Philippians, but it took us like 2.5-3 months to get through it. Myself and Andy done the most of it, and the overriding message of that was the joy of the Lord. The statement that remains with me from it is this, is that a believer's spiritual maturity can be measured in what it takes to steal his or her joy. A believer's spiritual maturity can be measured in what it takes to steal his or her joy. Are you joyous this morning? Are you going into 2017 with joy? Are you expecting it to be joy-filled? Are you expecting to know the shalom, the peace of God throughout 2017? Was 2016 like that? Or do you need to take some of that joy out? In Philippians 1, we looked at how the gospel connects us in community, yeah? We looked at how Paul speaking about how people had blessed him and supported him and helped him and what it meant to be living in a community, a Christian community, where we have one another's backs. And then in the second week of it, we had the kind of devastating news of our brother Stefan, who was a big part of our church, who went to be with the Lord way too early. And it hit us out of the blue, and it hit us like a punch in the gut. And it was painful, and it was hard. But in the middle of it, God knows what he's doing. So we start this series on Philippians. And then the next week, the next verses we're to preach on is where Paul says this in Philippians, that I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it on the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Christ Jesus meaning when Jesus is coming back, meaning that this life isn't the end of things. Meaning that Jesus is coming back, that Jesus takes all this brokenness and this hurt and this disappointment and this suffering in this world, and somehow when he comes back, he works it all together and he transforms it, and he's faithful to finish his work. Paul goes on and he even says that to live is Christ and to die is gain. That if to live is Christ, then to die is gain. So words of comfort right in the midst of that terrible situation we were facing and still face in some ways as we process it and grieve. But remember that stuff. Hold on to that stuff. Store that stuff up. Treasure that stuff. Memorize it. Meditate on it. So when despair comes, you have something to counter it with. Andy spoke great on Philippians 2, on imitating Christ's humility, on relationships in the church. Philippians 3 has this amazing presentation of the gospel, that we can have confidence in Jesus and what he has done for us, that it's by grace, not by our works. There, Paul says that all the things that I used to put my value in, that I all count them now as dung, he says. Dung meaning like excrement, meaning it's translated kind of politely in our Bibles, but it means crap, yeah? It means like he's like, everything that I used to put my faith in, I've realized now that all that is worthless compared to me. I reject it. Like, it's horrible to me compared to the all-surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. This incredible thing of the gospel. And then Philippians 4 caps it off with these incredible verses. If you want to store up some things to have in your heart to pull out of hard times, here's some. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, meaning everything, through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:19 says this, that my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. There are things to have stored up in your heart. There are things to prophesy and proclaim over your life. God will supply every need. There are assurances we need to have in our hearts. So get back in, read Philippians. It's only 4 chapters long. Take out of it what God has for you in 2016 and moving into 2017. We had a couple of other preachers, Sean in July, Sean Donoghue, shared his amazing story. Sean got up and told this story of how he'd grown up as a kid, how he'd ended up homeless, ended up on drugs, ended up in criminal gangs, and how God has taken his life and transformed it, absolutely transformed it. Sean runs the Lighthouse now in Dublin City Centre, which is a homeless drop-in centre, absolutely transformed. He's on our core team here in church. But just the power of his testimony, of a guy standing up and saying, here's what God has done in my life, is amazing. In October, he spoke again on making Jesus the cornerstone of your life. I hope you remember it. Mags spoke. Mags, who led the meeting this morning. I love when she preaches. I love when Mags preaches. She brings something about us to us as a community that really knits us together. She spoke about what it means to be a family, what it means to be a church family. And on the importance, again, she spoke about the importance of living for others more than just for ourselves. Let me tell you, if you're feeling on the outskirts of church, or if you're coming along every week and you don't really feel connected, go back and listen to those sermons and take out what it is that God and his word is saying to it, to you through it, and imbibe it and make it a part of you. Great, great messages on connecting us together as a family. Noel, who's an amazing preacher, spoke on the supremacy of Jesus over all things. He spoke on moving past old seasons and into new ones. He spoke on finding your purpose, on learning to trust in God, and on the sacrificial love that God demonstrated in Jesus. Again, check them out on the podcast. Sophie spoke on Psalm 139, on the fact that God knows our thoughts. She spoke on trust in God, and she spoke this amazing message called The Theology of Tears. Look it up on the website. It's worth looking up just for that name alone. That sounds fascinating, doesn't it? The Theology of Tears. Check that out. I wish I came up with that title. We did a little two-part series then called I Will Not Be Silent, around the fact that as a church, our voice is by and large missing from society. as Christians, that society would look to silence us, that in loads of different ways it looks to shut us down, it looks to say that your voice isn't valued, it looks to discredit the Bible, it looks to discredit Christians, it looks to discredit our history, and how we as Christians can find a voice in the world, find a way of speaking that speaks the truth, but speaks it in love in the world, that we find a way of living and expressing our voice, because the world needs our voice as Christians. When I came back from the States, I spoke a short message called I Am Peter, where you know the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet? And he comes around to Peter, and Peter's like, you'll not wash my feet. And it just hit me in a real incredible way that on Peter in that story. I'd read it a million times, and a guy had just spoke about it when I was in the States. And he says, picture this, that Jesus comes and Jesus kneels down in front of you. And he washes your feet. And that idea of Jesus kneeling in front of me just freaked me out. Just was like, no, I kneel in front of Jesus. It's not Jesus. Jesus doesn't kneel. Jesus doesn't serve me. I serve Jesus. That's the way that things work. And in doing that, I just identified for the first time ever in my life with Peter in that story. That's what Peter is thinking. That Jesus doesn't do this for me. I do it for him. And what's at the root of that? Is that I don't realize that I actually need to be served by Jesus. That this gospel is all about the fact that I need a savior. That I need to be served by Jesus. I can't work my own way out of it. I can't serve my own way out of it. I can't force my own way out of it. I can't outthink it. That at the core of things, the things I struggle with, the things I try and put right in my life, the things I try and put stuff in place so that I don't behave this way or whatever. But at the core of it, what I really need to do is allow Jesus to come in and to actually heal that. And say, I can't do it. I need you to wash this area of my life. And if there's something in your life that you've been struggling with this year, and you've tried all the other things, you've tried talking to people about it, you've tried self-discipline, you've tried all this, allow Jesus to come in and serve you. Jesus says he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life as a ransom for many. Allow Jesus to serve you in that way this year. What if instead of struggling with our sin and instead of like trying to fix it ourselves and trying all our best and failing and getting disappointed and all that stuff, if we just surrendered and said, Jesus, I can't do this. I need you. I accept this invitation of grace. I don't deserve it. I accept this invitation of grace for you to come in here and you fix this and you change whatever needs to change in my heart and in my mind because I can't do it. And then we finished up with this series called The Advent Conspiracy, which wasn't just for Christmas, but it was for all times. Four premises was this: spend less, give more, love all, and worship fully. Just exposing ourselves. There's these just voices in the world that want us to just spend money. One of the biggest counterfeit gods in the world is this god of money. Jesus actually names it. When he talks about money, he calls money mammon, which is like the name of a god. He doesn't just talk about money abstractly. He names it as a god and says and speaks about it. Says you can't serve both me and this other god. And so we talked about this thing, about living differently as Christians, about being wise stewards of our money, about blessing people who don't have what we've been blessed with, and in all of it, worshiping God. And so I hope that in some way, over this kind of like 10 minutes or so, I know there was a million different things there thrown at you, but really we need to learn to treasure the Word of God. And there has to be something, guys. There has to be something that God said to you in 2016. There has to be something that if your ears have been open, that God has said to you. And that maybe you've just forgotten. Maybe you're not from this church and it was something else spoken somewhere else. Maybe it was in a podcast or at a conference or in a book you read. But I just want to create a space, even just in silence for a minute before we pray. We're in our hearts. We allow the Spirit to search and say, This is what I need you to hear. This is what I need you to treasure up. This is what you need in your storehouse for when the days that are coming come, so that you can pull it out and utilize it. So where we're at, let's bow our heads and just give even just that couple of moments of silence to think about that and to allow the Spirit to speak that into our lives. Father, your word says, how could a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Father, we pray that this word, Lord, would come alive to us in this season, Lord. That what we've read there, that we would delight in your word, that we wouldn't forget it, that we would treasure it, that we would store it up, that it would guide us and it would keep our ways pure. I pray that this word, Lord, will be one that today we take a hold of and say that we will treasure what it is that you speak, Lord God. Father, we repent if we've treated it as disposable or as something that we can just forget about, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you would show us just the wealth of what it is that you've offered us and given us through your word, Lord. I pray over each person here, Lord God, that what you've imparted, what you've been speaking, Lord God, the same words, Lord, that spoke the universe into existence, that what you've been speaking into their lives, Lord, I pray that they would see that it carries that same creative power, Lord God, to create new realities in their lives, Lord God, in their situations, in the things that they face into, Lord God. I pray, Father, that this would be a year where people know you, Lord, where we just know you, Lord God, where we know you on a level that we didn't even dream was possible, Lord God, where we treasure your every word, where our ears are attentive to your voice, Lord God, where we're tuned to know the voice and the leading of God in every situation, Lord, that it would be a year of clarity, Lord God, a year, Father God, of communion, Lord God, with you, Lord. We praise you, Lord God. I pray that as people have been reminded even this morning of things that they need to treasure up, that you would help them do that work, Lord God. That you would bring it back to memory, that you would help us to carve out time and discipline, Lord God, to do it. But more than all that, that we would grow in relationship with you, Jesus. That your written word would lead us to the word made flesh. And everything that changes because of that. We bless you, Lord God. We commit this day into your hands, this year into your hands, knowing that you're good, Lord God, and you're trustworthy, Lord God. We praise you and we honor you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.